Welcome in to Behind Enemy Lines. It is Wednesday, my dudes. A Wednesday that is sad glorious. For some, gleeful for others. And included in that would be, obviously, Ryan Paris and Travis Hudson joining me today. And they are feeling pretty dang good, aren't you, boys?
It's another great week to be a Chiefs fan. It's a pretty tough time to be a Broncos fan. You've had your highs, so
Enjoy this valley.
Enjoy
this valley. You know, that's kind of how it felt, obviously, during the game, directly after the game. I lamented and mourned. Obviously, speaking of the 27-23 loss that the Denver Broncos sustained at the hands of the Kansas City Mahomeses.
At the left hand of
at the left hand at one point of Kansas City Mahomes. I mean, man, that is a rough one as a Denver fan. I don't know that I remember quite as tough a loss as this one, at home in a game that you just think if you can find a way to win, you are going to be flying high and have a lot of momentum, and to go in with the game plan and the execution to do it for three quarters and then to just fall apart at the end in pretty much every facet is pretty disappointing. And obviously we're going to get into all of it, but that is where I'm at right now in terms of being disappointed. But I also have to say, just, you know, I predicted, you know, the original line I think was 5.5, and I thought the Chiefs would cover that pretty easily. And so in that, I know there's no moral victories, but I feel better about the Broncos as a team now than I did leading up to the game. And I know we're 2-2.
I would like to say I am the only one that correctly predicted the under on that.
Well,
not since the line changed.
Yeah, I was going to say the line did change, but yeah. But yes, we predicted what it was. So
at
yeah,
5 points.
Going off the 5. Yeah, you are correct.
Yes, Ryan did predict the under, and it was a dogfight game, and yeah. You know, like, obviously, like, there's so much in this game to unpack, but I guess I'll go ahead and just start by saying that I thought that if the Broncos were going to win this game, that this is exactly how they were going to win it. And to be up by 10, obviously there were some blown opportunities early where we should have been getting touchdowns and we were kicking field goals. But, I mean, 10 points going into the fourth, the Broncos had never given up a lead of 10 points in the fourth quarter at home for 14 years.
Yeah, and that's a ridiculous stat.
It is a ridiculous. And that was broken last night, or Monday night, obviously.
A lot of things being broken right now.
A lot of things being broken. And, you know, like, it's crushing because that's a game that I just think we could have won and should have won with, well, either a play going this way or that way, but bottom line is I think we could have won the game just with some better decisions, some better coaching.
Yeah.
And I will try not to get too heated on this podcast, but I will say this.
Oh, no.
The freaking play calling in the fourth quarter was absolutely garbage. The Chiefs started coming back, and they got scared, and I don't know what it is that Bill Musgrave and Vance Joseph are trying to prove, that it's like, oh, we paid this quarterback $18 million, so he's got to be the guy to go do it. It's just, you need to I don't know if that's their thinking, but if it is, you need to adjust your thinking because the strength of your team is not Case Keenum. It's been obvious through 4 weeks that the strength of your team is run blocking and two very – some teams don't have one good running back. We have two. They both look really good, and we averaged over 7 yards a carry. And in the – I watched the highlights, and it's every big run for Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, and the highlights stop at 40 seconds left in the third quarter. And the reason is because I didn't get the ball. And it doesn't make any sense. And after the game, Vance Joseph doubles down on this and says, they ask him, well, do you think you should have been running the ball more? Well, no, we run the ball to control the game and we throw the ball to score points.
That's the dumbest. Oh, Vance, man.
Where did your two touchdowns come from in the game? You freaking ran them both in. What? That was the stupidest, maybe the stupidest coaching quote I've ever heard in a post game. And I've not been one to criticize Vance Joseph that much, where a lot of Broncos fans just really don't like him. You know, the first year I kind of give him a pass on that and say the quarterback situation was garbage and we didn't have anything on offense. But that is very, very bad, and I don't know. I won't say too much more about it other than it doesn't make any sense to me. Royce Freeman averaged, I think, in the eights, over 8 yards a carry, and he had 8 carries. This is a game where both of those guys should have had 15 carries apiece easily, and they had a total of 20 combined. So it was just, I don't know if they got scared, what happened. Like there was a few times where they did run it on first down and they got stuffed and then they just get freaked out and throw. And it was, I'm sick about it. And obviously that's frustrating, but just looking at that going forward, that gives me hope that they can see that and see that that is the strength of this team. And that is how we're going to win games down the line. But, man, in this moment, like, you just got to think, if only they would have. But, alas, the night goes to, once again, Patrick Mahomes, who played a heck of a game against really what I thought was a pretty good game plan. We hit him 9 times, only socked him once. And, you know, like, there was – it is frustrating because, I mean, you look at his stats, his outside the pocket, he had, like, 190 yards.
195, I believe.
Which was the most in, like, a decade or something like that. Yes. And all of it, I'm – aside from the wizard ambidextrous play, all of it came from the right side. Yeah. And – that's just, I think that's bad. You got to have, you know, you got to scheme up some kind of contain there and force that. And there was a couple plays I saw where Von Miller, he didn't even rush. Like he just kind of stood there and he still got outside on that play. Like it was just very frustrating. I mean, obviously the guy is a talent, you know, and as a Broncos fan, seeing him play against a team for, I mean, I don't even count last year, but seeing that this year, seeing him play against a team in Mile High that's still in contention, that's playing for, you know, the division, and he comes out down in the fourth and does that to us. Ugh, that just sickens me, and it obviously, you know, the guy's the real deal, and you guys are, you guys are welcome to what it feels like, guys. I'm happy for you in some ways.
We got our John Elway.
You got your John. You got your Peyton Manning. You got your PFM. We had our Peyton freaking Manning. Now you got your
Patrick freaking
Mahomes. And I'm not even the word will not even be spoken on this podcast. I'm not gonna say it.
No,
I'm over it. I'm done. I don't ever need to hear it again. And I think a lot of people. It's been what's the podcast? What's the on that podcast that we listened to, Travis, ATN, or they were they canceled the or were they banned? Banning that. We are banning Showtime.
Rich Eisen didn't like it either.
Yeah,
I watched Rich Eisen podcast, and he was trying to come up with different names because he did not like Showtime.
Yeah, I'm over it. But anyways, that's my quick take, opening thoughts on the game. So yeah, what are you guys feeling after this game?
There's so many things, but it's just a couple big picture things. Is it kind of, you know, that's a signature win going into a division rival's house on Monday Night Football in a cantankerous environment like
cantankerous.
You know, the Chiefs are known for having, you know, the loud crowd noises. That's Denver Stadium was loud. Oh, they were rocking.
It affected the game for sure.
There was the lack of a delay of game, but there was multiple times where you could kind of tell Mahomes was kind of getting confused trying to set up protections, and you know you can tell that affected him. And we kind of forget that he's essentially a rookie. This is his first season.
Like, yeah,
that's the kind of thing that young quarterbacks struggle with. He hasn't yet, but you know, that kind of environment kind of threw him off for three quarters.
Yeah, I mean, what was his total through three? I mean, it was definitely under 200. It was
he's
closer
like 150.
To 150. He got like
half. I think he got half of his passing yards on the last two drives.
Yeah, yeah. On the last two scoring drives, he had 153 passing yards.
Yeah,
which is over half, right?
You know, the Broncos defense was playing really well, and they it's not like they gave it away on those last two drives. There were some plays being made by the defense. You know that.
Aside from the second, I don't care who's your quarterback. I don't care who it is.
Second and 30,
man. That's inexcusable, but continue.
I can remember, and I was sitting there watching the game with you guys. I don't know if I said something out loud about it, but I know I was thinking, like, I shouldn't be confident, but I just had this feeling that he was going to come through. Like I didn't even doubt it. This is what Patrick Mahomes is built for. He's going to. He got second, third, and fourth down. He can get you 30 yards in three plays. And I haven't ever experienced that as a Chiefs fan. You know, you get into like first and 15 and you give up with Alex Smith. But second and 30 with the game on the line with those pass rushers, and he was still able to make a couple plays. And it reminded me, we mentioned Elway earlier. That's the feeling that I got whenever I was watching John Elway lead a comeback. It was like no lead was enough against John Elway, because as soon as the fourth quarter came around, he could have been playing awful the first three quarters and done nothing, and then just something clicks when the game's on the line, and he just somehow unexpectedly does what he has to do, and that's what I think we saw Mahomes do, and I'm just so freaking happy that type of player is playing for the Chiefs and not the Broncos now.
Yeah, I mean, you have to start, like, if you're an opposing team, you have to start thinking of him that way. And, I think the Broncos, I thought they gave him a lot of respect in terms of what the looks that they gave him. You know, Kareem Hunt had a really good game, and I think part of that was just that we were okay with, you know, I think they gave up more than they would have liked because he had some big runs, but you know, I think they were going to try and let him beat us. And I mean, the defense played their hearts out, really. And
it was the perfect game plan, for defense.
For the defense it was, and then also for the offense. And it's like you just have to start thinking about him with these other guys like the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's. How you beat them is. You don't give him the ball, and
yeah,
that's that's, you know, we'll see if, you know, like if the Jaguars take a page out of that next week. But there, you have to start playing him like that. And I don't, I have no idea why we got away from it. Looking, you know, I don't know why we're trying to make Case Keenum into something he's not. And he wasn't awful in that game. I don't think the pick was entirely his fault. I think that.
Yeah, that was miraculous.
It was
a great play.
It was an incredible play. And it's also, I think it's almost more on the receiver. I mean, Jeff Hireman, who actually had a career day, you got to fight for that, man. Like, the defender has one arm in there. You have two hands. Like, you got to rip and, just grab his arm, twist it, whatever, you know? Like, you got to fight for that ball. Like, even if it's incomplete, there's no way you can let him pick that off like that on the sideline. That's just inexcusable. And I'll go back, but we should have even been throwing there anyways. But that's besides the point. Yeah, I just think that was a key play, you know, where our defense had just come up with a big stop, and then we go out on the field, and then boom, you guys have the ball again. And, you know, I just think that you can protect your players a lot better with your play calling there. And I didn't do it.
Yeah. So I think a lot of this game came down. Well, if you think about this game, it's, you know, the different groups. You got the offense, which was pretty even between both teams. Both had good running games. Passing games are both kind of inconsistent. Then you had defenses, which is clearly in Broncos' favor. You had special teams, which is probably in the Chiefs' favor because you're so scared of punting the ball to Tyreek Hill.
And there's no way around. Marquette King has been bad. He's got the yips or something. I mean, not even in this game, like the first one was a decent punt, but he punted it right to him, and I guarantee you that wasn't what he was supposed to do. And then the next one, at the end of the game when we're trying to flip the field, he punts it. It went 30 yards. Like, that's not going to get it done. So
yeah. So when you think offense, defense, special teams, it's pretty even. You know, split defense and special teams, offense is pretty even. But what the game came down to was coaching. Chiefs coaching is what won them the game. The Broncos came in with a good defensive game plan. And I think they executed what should have been their offensive game plan. But they didn't game plan it well. We talked about controlling the balls, what the Broncos should have been doing. Game ended with the Chiefs having 72 total plays to the Broncos 59. And if you're winning the game, you can't do that.
Right.
The Broncos need to have more plays than the Chiefs. You can't give Patrick Mahomes that many chances, or he will end up finding a way to beat you. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is what happened. And they had their chance. I mean, the Broncos had, like, I know you guys were even nervous, like, whenever they scored. And I was almost just like, well, I mean, we might as well, like, they're going to score. We might as well just let them and give us some time to try and score on this defense again.
Yeah, at the end of the game.
It kind of happened. You know, you guys scored pretty quick, and we had a minute 40 or something like that. With no timeouts.
Yeah, and right then and there, I did say something about, oh, there's too much time. You know, I'm worried about that, but I'm not. In hindsight, you only get so many scoring opportunities. I'm not going to say you'd kneel it right there and try to punch in it, you know, try to run some extra time off the clock.
Right, right.
You got to score a touchdown.
If that opens up right there, if you're behind by 3 points, then yeah, you can maybe try to play the clock a little bit and be a little bit more manipulative. But if you need a touchdown, you got to take that touchdown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying the Chiefs played it wrong at all. You know, like, especially when you're going up against a defense that had kind of been stopping you. You know, like,
yeah,
you score when you can score, and you just gotta play the game. You know, you gotta trust that your defense can get a stop with a minute 40 when they got to drive the whole field. So, and you know, like, here's my thought. Case Keenum so far, his QBR has not been good. His touchdown to interception ratio has not been good.
Is it negative?
It's definitely. I mean, he hasn't thrown a touchdown since week one. He threw three and
definitely negative.
And he has none since then. He's thrown a pick every week, so he's 3-6. I think he's 3-6. And, you know, like in a game like this, I don't give a rip if he throws a touchdown, but don't throw an interception. And, you know, because I think that's – I mean, obviously that's a stat that has some value, but if your team is scoring and your team is winning, I'll run it in every time if you take them down the field, you know. So I don't care about that, but the only thing – going for him right now is that the team, I think the team does believe in him. They, you know, like he brought them back in the first two games. He made some plays at the end of that game that put them in position to win again. But man, he blew it, man. Like, you know, he had him. I mean, on a couple different plays, like Thomas. Well, I shouldn't say a couple different plays, because the play before that should have been the end of the game. He threw it right to the Chiefs defender and he dropped it.
Yeah, Kendall Fuller should have picked that.
Yeah, Kendall Fuller should have picked that off, and that should have been the game right there. So that was a bad throw. But then you get another chance on, you know, the next play, and Thomas is wide open. I don't know what the coverage was exactly there. I think it was cover two. Zone. Yeah, so a guy was playing up, you know, in the flat at, for, you know, for the
corner was playing the flat, and then the safety didn't get over fast enough.
Yeah, and he had, I don't know if he read it, like thought that the,
well,
like did, maybe DT didn't get out of his break.
Yeah,
did fast you see, enough. Like I the saw on the replay,
Thomas was jogging coming out of his break. He wasn't at full speed the whole route. I don't know if it would have made a difference, but he definitely wasn't running full speed that entire route. So
yeah, and I almost wondered, like it looked, you know, by the time when the ball came over there, it looked like it was just a plain overthrow. But yeah, I just can't help but wonder. And that's another thing that I keep thinking about, that it might be his time. Like that I think that if this is 3 or 4 years ago, Demaryius Thomas probably makes that play. Like it was a little out of reach. I mean, it was definitely out of reach, but with maybe just a little more speed and just a burst, you know, you can jump up and get that. Like the two most, you know, the most explosive weapons on the field for us are Emmanuel Sanders, Philip Lindsay, and Cortland Sutton. Like, he needs more targets. He made a big play. He had the longest play for us in the game. Deep down the field, he forced a pass interference in the end zone that led to one of our touchdowns. So, I don't know. I mean, DT's still getting a lot of targets, and I get that, but I think as you see the season go on, that might start changing. I don't know for sure, but
he had another drop in this game too.
Yeah. There were actually a lot. I mean, for the Chiefs too, that played a big part. The Chiefs had some drops.
The stuff that the Broncos couldn't control, that kind of stuff that they needed went in their favor. Yeah, the drops.
For the most part, it did.
Yeah. They had the penalties. The Chiefs had 10 penalties for 93 yards to the Broncos 3 for 25. And a lot of those penalties on the Chiefs were on offense.
No penalties on defense. All of them were. We didn't have a single penalty on defense.
Yeah, so, and that's, I mean, for the most part, I did think that fell our way. I really think we needed to pick off that. I mean, that thing was in the air forever. That Roby deflected that ball, and I was like, oh,
went straight up.
Somebody's got to get to that, you know. But, you know, because that was the turn. I mean, that was the difference. You guys won the turnover battle 1-0, right? You didn't turn the ball over at all.
No.
So, and that's – I mean, you win a turnover battle, you're probably going to win the game most weeks. So,
even though I don't think we made anything of our turnover that we got. I don't know. Did we get a field goal out of it?
No, it kind of just killed momentum. Didn't get any points out of it. You didn't kick a field goal? It kind of just
– I think you're right. I think we maybe forced a 3-and-out after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we had the ball in pretty good position, and you know, but it was a killer. But yeah, I don't know. What else did you guys see? Anything stand out to you?
Well, one thing I noticed when I was kind of looking over the stats is on talking about the offenses, and I talked about how they were pretty even. One big differential in the game was on third down. The Chiefs 7 of 15. Broncos 2 of 11. So I feel like that you know, a lot of times that's indicative of how your offenses are performing and how the game's going to go in terms of whether you're going to be scoring points. And the Broncos' third down efficiency just was not good that game. And I don't know if it's, you know, you put in situations where you didn't get a good run on first down, and so you had to throw twice in a row, and you know your offense was not clicking, or what it was on those third down completions. But
yeah, I mean, and I would imagine a lot of those came later in the game, because we were, you know, like several of those run, like we were getting first downs on first down runs, like we were getting 10, 12 yard runs. So yeah, I mean, obviously the third down efficiency was not that good. And I don't know if it's just cause we were moving the ball and then we would get down to the other side of the field. And I thought things got a little, like the play calling was just not the best. And we were okay to settle for field goals when obviously that was not a good idea. One thing that did stand out to me was as much pressure as we did get on Mahomes. I mean, and they talked about Von Miller a lot in the game, but he really didn't do anything. Like he was pretty much stonewalled by Mitchell Schwartz. And
yeah, Mitch Schwartz had a great game.
I think you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
I believe Mitch Schwartz still has not allowed a single sack on Von Miller.
Yeah.
What as a chief?
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And I mean, most of the like, I was watching him, you know, just because I was waiting for him to make a play. And I don't think that, I mean, there were some plays obviously where he did have help, but a lot of times it was just straight up. He just beat him, and that's pretty impressive. And
it seemed like a lot of the pressures he did get were ones where you had overload blitzes on that side that he can't kind of. Is the unblocked defender.
All right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, as a pass rusher, I just can't imagine having much more of a frustrating game than that, you know? Like, really getting after him and not getting him, you know? Yeah. And then at the end, like, being all over him, and then he makes... won a really great play. And
I saw after the game that Chris Harris had to get two IVs because he was so tired of running around.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, they didn't say his name very much, but I don't think they didn't really target who he was covering, and I don't know if he was on Tyreek the entire game. I'm guessing he probably was.
Yeah.
But he didn't, I mean, he had the one at the end. But I don't think he had very many receptions.
Yeah, that was the best. That has to be the best game by your pass defense all season. You know, you guys were in close coverage the whole game.
Which is crazy because that's the first 300-yard passer we've allowed in
38 games.
Yeah, what is – like, what in the world? That's
a ridiculous stat.
And I honestly don't even think they've, you know, been that good.
This season.
Yeah. But – I mean, that's pretty incredible. And then to give it up in that fashion, it's just like insult to injury kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, so
I mean, you made Patrick Mahomes make plays by himself. You got us out of our normal rhythm on offense. You know, Patrick had to make those plays basically alone. You
know? Yeah, and he was not effective. He was not very effective from the pocket. Like he didn't complete very many passes. There was no timing. I don't know if we were jamming receivers or if we were just blanketing him or what, but
yeah, it seems like you were all over me. I mean, even when he was sitting in the pocket and had time to sit in the pocket, he wasn't finding any open receivers. You know, he was sitting in there for 3, 4, 5 seconds, and he'd have to eventually roll out because there's just no one was coming open.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're not hearing Travis, that's because I'm assuming, attending to an infant that has either pooped. Oh,
there it is.
Pooped and or spit up. And that is the dad life. That is the dad life. So, yeah, I mean, we'll continue on. I think that, again, as far as the Broncos offensive line goes, they just seem to really, they're a lot better in run blocking this year. I mean, 10 times better than they were last year. And part of that might have something to do with our running backs being more talented, but they just seem to do a lot better when they are blocking well in the run game. Garrett Bowles struggled early against D Ford, I think, and maybe Justin someone else. Houston. And Houston beat him.
Houston played on that side the majority of the snaps, I believe.
Yeah, there was like back-to-back plays where he gave up a sack and then held.
Yeah.
So, man, that's just – I don't know what they're really – I mean, he played better after that. Like
after D Ford, because D Ford went out hurt after about the second quarter. And that's after that, your offensive line really, you know, stepped it up.
Yeah. But Keenum was still pressured and forced him to make some bad throws, off the mark throws.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I come out of the game, like I said, with hope, just that there's a blueprint there for how we can be a good team. You know, I really hope that this isn't a loss that just deflates them. You know, hopefully the leaders there are good enough to, you know, show the, and the fact that a lot of these guys are young guys, you know, that they're going to come in. I think they're going to be playing hard. You know, those running backs, you know, the young wide receivers and I know that Keenum's not going to quit. Like he's still going to, obviously he has a lot to prove and he's still going to play hard and try and lead the team well. So it's it's going to come down to whether he can kind of bring it back. You know, it's one quarter of the season down.
Yeah.
You're 2-2. And our two losses are against
two good teams. I would
consider to be two of the better teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously squeaked out wins against what you would consider to be lesser teams. So you just kind of wonder exactly where they are. They're hard to rank. Yeah. And they, you know, there's obviously room for improvement. You know, obviously you gotta beat the Jets next week. I mean, you're going on the road, but you gotta go hold a rookie QB down and not let him beat you. You know, like I think just based on what I've seen, if we play like we did against the Chiefs, we should win that game.
Yeah. Darnold has struggled the past couple weeks too. So
yeah, I think it could kind of be a get right game. You know, if you go in with the right mindset and really execute and play well. But again, I would be more than happy to see us run. Like Keenum can throw it 15 to 20 times and we can run it 40 to 50 times if it's working, you know.
Yeah.
It just made sense to me. But so then Chiefs go
Jaguars at home against the Jaguars.
So Jags,
that's gonna be tough,
are coming off a win.
Yeah,
right,
win.
They beat the Giants
pretty convincingly.
Leonard Fournette is
out. Yeah, he's already declared out.
That bodes well for you guys, I would think.
And TJ Yeldon was limited in practice, so I'm not sure how strong he's going to be for the game.
I kind of feel like he'll play and probably be the main back, but
I don't know who else they have.
I would start him in fantasy, let's put it that way.
I would start just about any skill player versus the Chiefs. I mean, they're always a good start.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a very tough game for the Chiefs. I feel like we just came off of a game against a very good defense who really tested our offense. And now I think we have to go against a better defense.
Right. Yeah. So. And the Jaguars are a better overall defense. We didn't talk about it, but Sammy Watkins went out. What's his status?
It's a hamstring injury. He's limited in practice. I anticipate he'll play, but they haven't said anything definitive to this stage. So
it's kind of a wait and see. Hamstrings can kind of suck.
Yeah.
That's what like Fournette, I think, is dealing with too. Yeah. So that's rough.
He tried. Watkins tried to come back in and play against Denver, but it just tightened up on him. So yeah. I'm hoping it's not that bad of an injury. I'm hoping it's just, you know, a muscle cramp or something along those lines that, you know, get a little treatment between now and the Jaguars game and he can be back and playing well. But we obviously missed him from that game. Our offense looked a lot different after he went out.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that played a role.
I think it allowed you to put a lot more on attention Tyreek Hill. Yeah. A lot more attention on Tyreek Hill. You could always have a guy over the top of him because we don't really have a third burner that could beat you on the other side. So you could always have your safety move over the top of Tyreek Hill every single play and not have, you know, too many bad consequences from it. So yeah. I feel like it really made the Chiefs offense a lot more one-dimensional after he went out. So I'm hoping he comes back, especially against the Jaguars defense. We will need him. We will need every skill player we can get in order to beat that defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I just think just watching Mahomes play, and like, I think everyone's going to point to that, to the play, obviously, where he chucks it left-handed. Like, obviously, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And he's rolling to his left. But, you know, that was probably 6 or 7 yards down the field, and Tyreek was pretty open. He did have Von Miller on him. I get it. It was a great play. But to me, yeah, his best throw was – and just, like, the way – the angle that – like, when he escaped the pocket to the left again, and it looked like he was going to run – and we had him dead to rights, and I don't think everyone's like, oh, he was across the line. The back of his heel was close.
Yeah, it looked like his heel was on the line.
Yeah, but he was running to his left, and he kind of like opened up his body, and just all of his momentum was that way, and it's like, yeah, on one foot, and he's turning and just rifles it down. I mean, that.
To Travis Kelce, I believe.
I think it was. And that was a backbreaking play. I thought because you guys did, or did you score a touchdown on that drive? I know we did. We held once down there, or down there by the goal line, but
I don't think we did score on that drive.
Right, because your touchdowns were. Because
we had the two touchdowns at the very end of the game, and I don't think that was either of those guys, was it?
Kelce and Hunt. No, it wasn't that one.
Yeah.
And then, what was the other touchdown that you had? Was that
it was a Hunt run, I believe, wasn't it?
He had two touchdowns.
Did he have two touchdowns that game? I know it was a rushing
Mahomes
touchdown.
Mahomes had the.
Oh, Mahomes
rushing. Oh, yeah, the rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the play that he scored on later. After that throw.
Yeah.
Because that was a third down too. It was like, you know, it was third and goal. And we, again, had pretty, pretty good coverage and then just lost contain on him. And
yeah,
that's a killer.
I think his better throw was, it was third and 16 and he had to roll out to the right and find Tyreek Hill over the middle of the field, falling to his knees. It was end up being a yard short. We ended up having to go for it on fourth down, but ended up completing a 15-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. Do you remember that one?
Was that in the beginning of the game when?
It was more in the middle.
That might have been the first drive.
It wasn't that early, was it?
Well, it was early when you went for the fourth and one, because remember I was like, this is so disrespectful, because it was on like your own 35 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys had scored. You scored on your first drive.
Yeah. Scored a field goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, man, we could make him pay right here if we would have stuffed that, and we would have been, you know. Speaking of, that was a head-scratcher for me when we went for it on fourth and one, which I was okay going for it, but that was the goofiest.
The little rollout.
Play call, where he's rolling out, and he hits Thomas, who's pretty well covered and behind the line even still.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, I got to give some love to the Nebraska product. When a freaking Andy Janovich was in there, he was crushing fools and the whole pancaking guys. I mean, that was what was working. And to not like that's what changed. We were running like heavy sets with two tight ends sometimes and a fullback or a tight end and a fullback in there and just making hay. And then in the fourth we start going three wide and those were the runs that didn't work that were getting stuffed. And again, it just doesn't make it like, we're trying to get too cute or something. Like we're trying to confuse you guys, but man, if you're beating a team and just out physically in them, just keep doing it. That's just seems like football 101 to me, but
yeah, that's why I say the game came down to coaching. Just some decisions that the Broncos made that were head scratchers that, you know, really had a strong result in the end of the game.
Right.
Just those little decisions.
I'm not even going to talk about the delay of game because I'll talk about it, but I'm not going to complain about it because, again, you had your chances, guys. It's second and 30. You give up a big play. Man coverage on second and 30. Like, who was it? Was it freaking Shaq Barrett and that was in coverage on that play? Or was that on the next
one?
That
was third down.
That was the third one. Yeah, the big play. So, yeah, it was third and seven.
Yeah,
I think it was third and seven. And so if they would have caught the delay of game, which to me it looked like it was, then you're third and 12, but they still got 30 yards. So like,
yeah,
you know, like what?
To Demetrius Harris of all people.
To Demetrius Harris, of course.
Because Shaq Barrett was in coverage on him.
Right. And it's like, it's kind of like you see that earlier. Like, yeah, Shaq Barrett made a play earlier where he had good coverage down the field. But it's like, okay, how many times do you want to test your luck there? Like, give the edge rusher a break. He made his play. Don't make him do that again. That's so dumb.
Well, I saw the replay. What ended up happening is another player ran like a curl route on that side too, and he stopped thinking that he was supposed to be covering that curl and that your safety was going to follow Demetrius Harris down the field. They both converged on the curl route, and Demetrius was just left wide open.
Oh.
Just a complete breakdown in coverage because you've got a defensive end, a pass rusher trying to play zone coverage, and that's never going to work in your favor. We know. Chiefs fans know. We've seen Justin Houston in coverage way too much to know that pass rushers aren't supposed to be your main zone coverage men.
And it seems like in situations like that I don't know why it is that coaches insist on doing that. Like they think it's just going to confuse the quarterback, or like you just think that you could scheme something better up there. Like personnel or what?
In my mind, you should put your players in the position to be successful. And when you do that, you're not doing that. You're putting players in a position where they're not comfortable.
Where they're a liability.
That they're not good at. Yeah. Why would you choose to put a player in a position or have a player do something that he's not good at? I just don't get that idea. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
it's supposed to confuse the offense and whatever, but I just don't see how that big of a disadvantage – skill wise, having somebody so big like that cover a quick receiver. I mean, Demetrius Harris is essentially a big wide receiver.
Yeah,
that's I will never understand that. If I were calling a defense, I would not have a pass rusher out there covering a skill player. That seems crazy.
I mean, I understand it from the idea of they think, you know, he's a young quarterback. They think they can beat him by that, but he's also very good after the snap. It's not like he's your average young rookie quarterback. He can diagnose plays after the snap very well. So
yeah,
that's not really going to fool him. You know, they brought those overload blitzes. Those were doing well, but I don't think dropping a pass rusher into coverage is going
to happen. Because I mean, even, you know, for as much as like, I don't know that we, for as good as I thought the scheme was for the first three quarters, I don't know that we confused him that much. It's just a matter of the guys were covered and he didn't make a mistake. You know, he didn't throw it into, you know, coverage, and
he didn't try to force the ball too often.
I mean, as great as he's been making plays, that's maybe the most impressive thing to me about him is that he hasn't made any mistake. Four games and he's not thrown a pick. That's amazing to me. So it's, I mean, enjoy that. Maybe that will continue. I feel like It's got to happen sometime.
He's going to throw one eventually. It's got to happen. I mean, I do think his interception numbers are going to be low on the season, but definitely under double digits. But
yeah.
I mean, I'll take one every five games. I will take one interception of every five games.
Yeah.
So
what? That last drive. So you guys score, go up, and then we've got. Let's just talk about what's going on, because we all watched this game together at Travis's house, and that's where there was a lot of pacing, and there was a lot of stairs being traversed during this drive. It's 4th and 11, and he throws. It's Emmanuel Sanders on the sideline for a really great catch, and I just kind of like I'm just staring at it, and then I just have to walk away. Look away, and then another big play down the seam to Jeff Heuerman, and then boom, we're down there. It's first down, and I think there's 30 something seconds, and then there was the almost pick, there was the incompletion to DT on I think there was an incompletion on first down. Second down was the almost pick. Third down was the overthrow.
Yeah,
that could have been a touchdown. And then fourth down, so when he completes this pass to Cortland Sutton, and it, when I watched it live, I wasn't convinced that he had the first down. I thought maybe he caught it in front of the sticks.
After watching it,
I think that it would have been – I think that when he possessed it, I think he was right at the marker, and I think it would have been a first down. So you look at that. You got 12 – seconds, you can probably run up there and clock it with 1 or 2 seconds left. And so that would have put you, you know, second down and with one play basically at a shot into the end zone. And I also want, like, if that, you know, if they ruled him, if he had just caught it and they had ruled him short, that gets reviewed. I was thinking about
this happened last year, and I think it was the Lions. Did they get screwed out of a game because they run a certain – they run 10 seconds off the clock?
Right, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like if that was marked short and they had to stop the clock to review that, then I think the game would have been over.
Yeah.
Yeah, or weird rules where, like you shouldn't really – I mean, they shouldn't be punished by that. It's not their fault that –
Or maybe – I mean, maybe since it was – I don't know – when he got when he gets tackled, how much time would have been left? Maybe if it would have been the 12, like maybe they do, you know, take it down to 2 and then run it, you know, just say as soon as they blow the whistle and then you try and snap it or whatever. But I don't know. What did you guys think about the call? Like, obviously they didn't do that. They tried to run a trick play.
Hook and ladder.
Tried to run
and it almost ladder. Worked. I mean,
I like the idea of it.
I'm totally fine with the call, because I just think, you know, I guess you've got the added element of if you do pick up that first down and then go clock it, you've got a chance, you know, to get your best play, but you're still, you know, you're probably 15 yards. I think that was probably about the 15-yard line or something like that.
And the Chiefs are going to be putting everyone on that goal line.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, the best you're hoping for is a miraculous catch in the end zone or a pass interference. But if that play is executed, it looks like to me, because, you know, there's the defender that's draped on Sutton, so he's not making the play.
Yeah.
Sanders' guy is trailing and is probably not expecting a lateral, so he's probably going to aid in the tackle, basically. And then there's one other guy upfield, and Booker's there blocking him. And to me, like, at the angle he's going at, like, there's the only risk is not executing the pitch, and that happened. I mean, that's the sad part. Like he had the defender on him, and I guess that's why he wasn't able to do it. But it almost looked like
Sanders wasn't ready.
It almost looked that way, because it looks like he had a chance. Like, he didn't even put it in a good place. I thought it wasn't that that out of the way. I thought he could have made a play on it. And even if he didn't have a lane, you just step out of bounds and you have the same result as if
he would.
And then you, and then you're not even hurrying. You can call your play, you know, and take your shot, and you've probably even gotten a few yards closer. So I don't know. I know they took a lot of heat for that in some ways, but man, I'm not going to knock them for it. They're trying to go win it, and
I like,
I'm okay
the
with the play call, but
yeah.
So I watched the play several times, and I was like, man, if that would have worked, and I would have been.
That would have been a very Chiefs way to lose that game.
Oh yeah,
that would have been a Chiefs. Well, that's see, but you guys are in a new era now. This is a new Chiefs, and it starts, and it's because of 15.
Yeah, but there'll always be a little bit of the old Chiefs there. There'll always be that old Chiefs feeling.
There's some old Chiefs defense still.
Yeah,
the I ghost mean, of well, Chiefs past.
Well, yeah, you exactly. gotta get. I guess you gotta go. You gotta go win. A playoff game. I guess you got to go win two playoff games.
We won one before.
Right. You got to win two for progress yeah. to be made. So until you get that monkey off your back, but obviously a lot to be excited about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just don't want to be here right now, guys. I was, like, I could just play some Fortnite. I don't have to come here and bring up this pain.
I'm happy to talk about the Chiefs right now.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah, I'm in a weird. I feel conflicted because, as being a Chiefs fan with you being a Broncos fan, I want you to suffer every bit possible through this because I had to suffer. But as you're my friend, I mean, it's sad. It is. I probably put a little too much into being a football fan, and there have been times where I've been majorly sad whenever the Chiefs. Yeah. I mean, usually it's a playoff loss or something. But I don't wish that upon anybody, really. You're a Broncos fan, so you deserve it.
It's a rough life, but you know, you're right. I'm fine. You can throw all your hate, all your well wishes or unwell wishes. I'm still, you know, my team is 3 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. So you can't feel sorry for me. I get it. You know, I'm one of the franchises that are pretty spoiled in the grand scheme of things. The Broncos winning percentage and over the years and level of success is up there with some of the other really great franchises. So there have been dark days. Josh McDaniels.
But to your now, Josh McDaniels, we will always have a Todd Haley.
Todd
Haley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Romeo Crennel.
Romeo. Love that guy.
He's a good defensive coordinator.
I also kind of like Bob Sutton.
I do not like Bob Sutton. You are the only one in this conversation that likes Bob Sutton.
Sometimes I'm neutral to Bob Sutton. That's my biggest compliment.
Bob Sutton's just there. I mean, that's his biggest compliment. Is he's there.
He's there.
He needs better personnel to run his defense. But anyway.
One thing we haven't talked about. We're talking about, you know, all the Broncos success. Currently, Chiefs are on a pretty good streak against the Broncos. That makes it five straight games
that
Chiefs have beaten the Broncos.
Very true. Very true.
And
five.
We've beaten the Chargers. What is it? Eight straight games we've beat the Chargers? Travis?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. It's been a long time. And I think the last time we did lose to the Chargers, it was Chase Daniel starting in week 17.
And we still
because
almost
we had already clinched. Yeah, and we still were very, very close. I can't remember what exactly happened, but there was something that happened that we very easily could have won that game.
Yeah.
On the last minute drive. But is that when there was a field goal attempt and they jumped, they lined too many people up on one side or something like that? and they didn't call it or something, which is not, I mean, that's tic tac. But anyway, yeah, so the Chargers are just unbelievably terrible against the Chiefs.
So this is the Chiefs. It's the time of the Chiefs right now.
Yeah. It is.
It's some pretty unparalleled divisional dominance right now. You've had dogfights, but you've come out on top, and then also, you know, just kind of steamrolled some games as well. So,
yeah.
I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, this loss for the Broncos, like, I don't count them out of the playoff race by any means, but that, in terms of the division, that's pretty crushing because that was your home. That was your chance. You had everything going for you. You had that crowd. You had the run game going, and then they came into your house and stole one from you. And now, you know, you're probably not going there and have all those things working for you again and find a way to beat the Chiefs. You know, the NFL is weird. It could always happen, but you can't count on that. And so that gives, you know, you got the Chiefs already 2-0 in the division. They've got the tiebreaker over you. They're probably going to beat you again. So you've got to string some wins against these bad teams and find a way, you know, to pull out a few of against the good ones. If you want any chance of getting in, sneaking in as a wild card. So
for the Broncos, oh, sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say, and the Chiefs aren't just 2-0. They're 2-0 on the road against the two best teams in the division. So, correct. I mean, we're in the perfect position to be able to take this and turn it into an AFC West championship.
Yeah, you guys have set yourselves up well, especially, I mean, this, you're about to go into the hardest part of your schedule.
Yeah.
And so yeah, even if you dropped a few, you'd be all right.
We could lose two games in a row and still be, well, see, that stretch, we got Jaguars at home, which I think that's huge that that's at home. And then we go to New England, which we beat them in New England last year. But no, that's going to be a very, very difficult game. I think New England's going to find their stride. I mean, they had a good game this week, but I think they're going to be
against the Dolphins, who I said were posers. Show me something, Dolphins.
No, they will not. They will show you Albert Wilson being their featured wide receiver.
Hey, I love Albert.
Hey, that guy got paid. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he deserves it. I saw something. He's like a top 20 paid wide receiver, which is crazy to me.
That is crazy. People got all bent out of shape about
what?
Oh, let's not give Sammy Watkins $16 million a year. Well, at least we didn't give Albert Wilson $8 million a year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But yeah, this stretch for the Chiefs, we've got the Jaguars at home, the Patriots on the road, and then we come back to Arrowhead for the Bengals, and then we play the Broncos again.
Yeah.
I remember that it's pretty close there in terms of the turnaround.
So everything that I've seen so far this season, that's going to be a very difficult four-game stretch, and I would not be upset if we went 2-2 in those games.
Oh, for sure.
I'd be happy with that.
That'd be fine.
And, you know, stack that on top of the 4-0 start, and we're at, you know, 6-2. That's a pretty good spot to be in halfway through the season.
That's better than I would ask for coming into the season.
Exactly. That's halfway to 12-4.
Yeah.
And the number one seed in the AFC.
Oh. I mean, at this point, you're the only undefeated team in the AFC, and looking like, you know, the favorites, I would say, at this point. I mean, you just watched a team do, you know, basically shut them down in a way that no one has seen and still come away with the win. So that's
our most trying performance of the season.
A Chiefs fan, yep.
I wanted to say also for the Broncos, this just kind of feels like a loss that could alter and kind of shift the season for them. It's early, you know, everybody, you can always recover. You can always put that behind you, but just kind of reminds me of in the past, there was one year that I think it was like week two that the Chiefs played the Broncos, and it was on Thursday night or something.
And it was that game where Jamal Charles fumbled three times. Like, Chiefs had so many reasons they should have won that game. Yeah. Like, Marcus Peters had the pick six on Peyton Manning. I think it was Peters' rookie year. But yeah, so there's just all these kinds of reasons the Chiefs should have won that game. And they ended up coughing it up at the end and giving the game away on a defensive touchdown. And it just
That was the Super Bowl year. For us, I think it was, because that was the year that Manning was
benched.
Not that good. Yeah, because he went into Arrowhead, won that game. He had the game tying touchdown to Sanders, and then the fumble that was returned for a touchdown, and then later against the Chiefs in Denver, and that was the game that started the streak. Of
Chiefs
games.
Streak over Denver.
Yeah, where Manning got sat down and was kind of hurt, and then the rest is history. Brock Osweiler wins some games, and then Manning comes back in at the end and has his Cinderella story. But yes, that is the game.
The Chiefs were just kind of seemed like we were deflated that after that game where we lost to the Broncos, and I kind of wonder if the Broncos seemed like they put a lot of stock into this game going into it. You could tell they were all playing really hard, which. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to quantify that, saying that they played harder than they have in the previous games, but it just felt like this was not the Broncos Super Bowl this year, but it was just like, we've got to win this game. And to lose it the way that you did, I'm worried that that could cause a psychological effect in the future. You know, maybe you drop a game that you shouldn't or something.
Right. And I kind of mentioned that, I think, while you were stepped away, that there's, basically one or two things that are going to happen that I was scared about, is that it could be like that, and they start to lose faith. I think, like I said, that what they do have going for them is that I think they still do believe in Case Keenum, even though he hasn't played well. As long as they believe, I think that, there's a chance, and we've got a lot of young guys that are kind of up and coming, and I think that that's really helpful. I think that having two good rookie running backs, a good rookie wide receiver, we've got, Chubb that's playing well. He's leading us in pressures and hurries. Josie Jewell's getting some big snaps in at linebacker. I think that just having that fresh drive and fresh perspective will help them a lot, because those guys are obviously going to play hard. Then it's up. What I'm worried about most is the defense, specifically the secondary, getting down if the offense does not hold up its end. Because, if you would have told me, even with the 27, if you would have told me that we were going to hold the Chiefs to 27 points going into that game, I would have been like, okay, we can score 30 points. We can score 30 points against the Chiefs defense, I think that's a win. So obviously just really disheartening, that they couldn't get it done. But, the offense, they put them in a position to win, and the defense gave up the score. So I don't know. There's some interesting dynamics. I think there's blame to go around, so they shouldn't be blaming one unit or the other, where I think last year, obviously, the defense was just why should we even play hard when Trevor Siemian is going to pick six us, I don't think that they have, I think that even though Keenum hasn't been that great, I think they believe that he is a player and is going to lead the team. So that's my hope. We actually have a bad streak going right now of East Coast games, I think, where we go over there and tend to lose in those early game matchups. But man, I just, looking at that Jets team, they've got hope for the future, but man, there's just,
they're not there yet.
There's just not very many ways that I think they're beating us, unless, we just lose the turnover battle horribly or something. So yeah, I have hope. you know, can get a get right game, go to 3-2, and then you're in business again. But we shall see. Any other thoughts from around the league? Or
well, I may have missed this since I had to step away for a minute, but did you guys talk about the defense at all, the Chiefs defense?
We kind of just touched on that it was that in terms of the units, like against each other, that the game was, you know, pretty even in terms of like the Chiefs offense probably had the advantage over the Broncos offense. The Broncos defense, you know, had the advantage over the Chiefs defense, and that you guys won the special teams battle, but that we didn't really get into their play specifically, other than Eric Murray making obviously a spectacular play.
Yeah, I noticed a couple plays by him. He's kind of getting off the schneid a little bit.
The schneid.
Looking more like to me that Ron Parker might be the weak spot on the back end of the defense. So, but I had to mention Tano Passano. Finally, I've brought this up a few times about Breland Speaks not needing to see the field at all
ever.
And yeah, finally we saw Tano Passano not only out snap him 18-16, but as Ryan, you pointed out earlier, to me, Passano led the team in pressures with only 18 snaps. So
with four pressures in 18 snaps.
And those were, there were some of those were in big spots that forced, maybe on like a third, I don't know for specific, I don't remember exactly, but it just seemed like there were moments where you saw Passano get in there on a third down.
I know one of them was in that late three and out the Broncos had between the two Chiefs scoring drives. I know he got a pressure there that forced an incompletion. So
I mean, if the Broncos score points on that drive or even spend enough time, we don't win that game. So I think with D Ford going out with an injury, I think if Breland Speaks gets the start, if Ford were to miss any games, I'm going to need an entire probably 5 minutes to vent on this podcast and rage against Bob Sutton in the defense. I really think they're just out there trying to develop Speaks and hoping that giving him the snaps is going to speed up his progression. But at some point, and hopefully that's now, possibly now that, you know, now that Passano actually outsnapped him, and in the past couple games so far this season, not only has Speaks been outsnapping him, Speaks has been getting double the snaps. So to see that kind of leveled out, hopefully that keeps trending in the right direction, and we can get Passano in there and let Speaks develop in the practice field.
Yeah.
So I was pretty impressed overall with the defense. You know, you guys were running all over us, which I kind of didn't expect.
I did.
But I mean, our Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland, I do not know what to say, because I thought they were going to be a strength of this defense this season, and they look indecisive in the running game. They look late filling holes, and they look really bad in pass coverage.
Hitchens is one of the worst pass covering middle linebackers in the NFL this season. Yeah, statistically, one of the worst.
I knew he wasn't a great pass defender, but I did not expect him to be such a liability. I noticed quite a few times we were blitzing both inside line. Maybe it was just one time I noticed we blitzed both of them. I'm like, oh, well, I guess if they can't cover anybody in the pass, they can't drop back in coverage, might as well send them on a blitz.
Yeah.
But so I don't know if they're just – I don't know if it's just chemistry not gelling yet, or I don't know what, because Ragland looked good last year. And
Hitchens was really good for Dallas last year too. So yeah, I don't know what it is. Happened.
That's kind of scary for me. So hopefully that doesn't continue to be an issue. But anyway, that's what I had on the defense.
So So I also want to talk about moving on to different topics. I want to talk about this fantasy trade that me and Travis had. I am trading him Deshaun Watson, Tyler Boyd, and Jay Ajayi for Matt Stafford, Sammy Watkins, and James Conner.
I had 2 shares of James Conner, and I now have 0 shares of James Conner in fantasy football. A little bit different scenario, though. I traded in the other one. I traded him to a non Le'Veon Bell owner before the news about Bell reporting in Week 8, and with the trade today, that's after we found out about the when Le'Veon Bell is going to come back. And also, Ryan, you own Le'Veon Bell, so that kind of protects you. I think it really makes your team a lot stronger.
Yeah, I mean, I already have Jared Goff, so I don't really need Deshaun Watson. I mean, I need a running back for these next 3 weeks, so James Conner is a huge upgrade over Alfred Morris, Isaiah Crowell, you know, the guys we've got starting now. And then I didn't really need Tyler Boyd because I've already got, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, Keenan Allen, and Golden Tate, so I mean, it makes sense for me. Travis gets to actually get something for James Conner. Win-win.
Yep. And I just got Mark Ingram back, so that's kind of nice to be able to turn a waiver wire acquisition into Deshaun Watson and Ajayi, which I hate Ajayi. That kind of I'm not huge on him because of the committee situation, but anyway, I think it was nice to get a little bit of value for a waiver wire pickup. But anyway, I know nobody cares too much about my fantasy football team.
Yep. All right. Well, it looks like Logan is gone to cry about the loss. He's got to go vent and cry in a corner. So we will be calling it close here at the Behind the Enemy Line. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will be seeing you hopefully next Tuesday to talk about another week of NFL football. I'm Ryan Paris, and here with Travis Hudson. And signing off. Thank you, guys. Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
This week's episode is brought to you by technical difficulties, because when you technically are disconnected, you can't even wrap up your own podcast, let alone defend yourself against rabid Chiefs fans. Thank you guys for tuning in, and here's hoping that technical difficulties are no longer a weekly sponsor. Some quick housekeeping. We did have some over-under predictions last week that I just wanted to update everybody on, because we'll probably start keeping track of this. Our over-unders for the game were Kareem Hunt 75 yards. We all took the under. We were all wrong. Mahomes 300 yards. We all took the over, and we were barely right. Mahomes throws for 304, I believe, and breaks the Broncos' 38-game impressive streak of not allowing a 300-yard passer. Sanders, 9 catches. Travis with the push. Ryan and Logan both took the under. He was under. Kelsey, 110 yards. Travis took the under. Ryan and I both went over. I believe he was under. Chiefs sacks, 1.5. We all took the under. We were all incorrect. Keenum interceptions, 1.5. We all took the over, and by some fluky play, it was 1 interception. Broncos total rushing yards, 130. Travis took the under. Ryan and I both took the over. They did go over. Broncos sacks, we set it at 2. Travis went over. Ryan pushed, and I went over. We were all wrong. They only managed 1. Travis picked the Chiefs in this game 31-23. Ryan picked the Chiefs 30-27. And I picked the Chiefs, did not have a score, but I chose them to cover the original spread, which was 5. Ryan was the only one to pick correctly against the spread, saying that the Chiefs would not cover the 5. And there we go. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Go Broncos.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.